a story. I'm just now testing an idea that popped up here because conceptual stuff here. I'm thinking about starting with thank you for your cooperation, and then the end of war, and then path of law, whatever, just continue from there. Or, yeah, whatever. First I thought, call it end of war, but you know, if we think of this as Netflix series or something like that, several seasons and many episodes and all that, which I tend to think now. So I'm allowed to think like that at least. And if I would make it that way, write the script for that purpose, you know, with that concept, I need a more flashy name of the series, so to speak. Because we're not talking now several books, with each one with its name, but I need something that binds it together. And that all of these stories or parts of the story can be centered and around and following along. So then I thought the awares with this Z in the end. That's one option. When you think then, you know, check out our new series here on Netflix, The Awares. What's that? So that's one. But what I mean is that it should fit such a title. Now, the other one I have, Path of Love. Maybe it should rather come there as well for that section of it. Just as thank you for your cooperation and end of war. How about the happies? That also sounds like a section. So what would the name of the whole thing? The Awares. If we use that, then our story would be based on a theme, based on a team, which of course would fit the typical Netflix-ish set up, you know, with a cool team there that you learn to love and like and all that. But they should not be the usual slightly what do you call it? Dystopic style, you know, where they dressed in cool Matrix style, you know, suits or jackets or, you know, leather and this and that, cool stuff, or jeans, or whatever. But you know, more colorful, more a little hippie-ish, you could say. Actually take the good things from the hippies, but don't make it like a parody on hippie time. The colors, take the way, for instance, the Beatles would then find themselves there, you know, in these suits, stage suits and all that. But then breaking with that and going more colorful the way people also were before. So it's a kind of, there's a deeper thing there. It's a protest, not only that, but it's a break from that strange culture that had appeared and was dominating the planet. The dark suits. Going back to folk, you know, ethnical dress and, you know, traditional dress, which is all over the world, more colorful. Before that, dark religion or whatever it was came, of course, also then coupled with the world hegemonies and, you know, the Roman Empire and the British Empire and the American Empire, all of those. So there's a deep thing there. And again, not a dress code that is, not this character design here, not a dress code that is, again, some stereotype thing that so often appears in these movie, Americans, especially movies. The grungy, shabby, druggy, yeah, dystopian, kind of little depressive environment and dress and people, characters. But they should be vegetarians, they should meditate, do Tai Chi, they should dress and they should look healthy. Should dress in colorful, nice, but nicely designed clothes. Again, based on traditional folk dress, but in a more modern style. And they shouldn't otherwise look too stylish, you know, like designed to look cool, and but yet big characters. But characters that feel for real. Or if we're talking animation here, then we were talking a completely different level, so I don't know. Okay, so the awares, they are there in this first part. Thank you for your cooperation. They're, of course, there in the second part, and the war, if those two are not going to be, well, they're smoothing into each other. And and then even when the awares are not well, either they are protagonists all the way through, but not just as a neatly designed five youngsters. You know, one Asian, one black, one this, one that. But there could be more of them. So, for instance, now in the first one, we have this fair lady at the center of them. And then the guy, or a guy, or, yeah, I think so. And the friends there in that room where this film, this series season starts. The next season, I kind of like the thinking in those terms. We could then have someone else at the center. And now I just happen to think about Rick. Is he part of the awares? Or he could be the founder, or because Pio is not the founder, he's just an ordinary guy. But the janitor, who is the janitor then? Well, maybe he is Rick, or I don't know. But, you know, in that case, we will have Rick, and then we will have just a little glimpse there of this 12, 13-year-old boy in this little town. And we could hear a talking second season, you jump right into that satellite broadcast. First one ever, 1967, and Rick is there, and the vice president is there. And kind of funny how the Americans, they just show a building and a discussion there between the East and the West leader, which is quite significant and good to start there. And then our Rick is also a character, you know, interesting character. So then we follow him, and then we have our Pio there, 12 years old only. And where is our fair lady? Well, she is like 20, 25 years old, let's say 25, 22, in the present time, which then would be 2024, 25, let's say, which means she is born at the year 2000. Springtime or something. Which means you could be a daughter of a friend of Pio. She should be a bit older, actually, 30, close to 30, yeah. Which means she's millennium generation somewhere, maybe born 95 or maybe close to 2000, or just that year. Doesn't really matter, as long as she can live up to the character. She's going to move around in pretty high levels in society. Who shall I base her on? Well, she could be then the daughter of Sara, if that's her name, the friend of Pio when they were kids in a small little town. Who then? We're also there, you know, a bit older when the Awares started. Or were, maybe they were part of starting it, pioneers. And the janitor started it there. Yeah, I think it should start in that little town there. And then Rick. Gets into that too. But he then also has connections to the Prabhupada there, who came from India. And then later Pio steps into that. But it's also part of that awareness. Mode. Maybe he isn't really. I don't know. He could just be an ordinary guy looking for love. No cool hacking here or there or whatever. Hare Krishna guy. I think that's maybe best. And we have Rick, rather, who is then secretly starting the awares, or that janitor, who could then be the same age as Rick. But you can't sit there and be that janitor back in. '67, because he doesn't have any technology or anything, and in our game that the janitor is using virtual stuff, so maybe the janitor is, well, whoever he is, just a mystical person there, harmonizer, whatever. But he's that legendary, unknown person who seemed to be the originator of the awares. That's good. Yeah, then we can have this end of war theme also going all the way, you know, also following all the way through here. So yeah, it could be called End of War, the whole series. But it's not just about, well, maybe. Anyway, we'll come up with something, but because in this one, the first season, then with the thank you for your corporation, the war would start. Cooking, and not just because something she did, or maybe she will do something that really she realizes that even disturbances on the corporate level can lead to world war, so she becomes, you know, she manages to stop it. But these other ones, the machine men and the other kinds of corporations, they're all going for it, so there's this thing there, and but eventually some country does something and it is then rubber stamp, whatever you call it, it's focused there as a terrorist state that should be saved. And the war powers come to that little country. But then you will have some members of the awares living in that little country, and they will follow them too. And she becomes some kind of, you know, she's flying around there, meeting them and meeting the others and all over the world. And they're, of course, going online also. And then we follow those kids who are actually from this small town. And they are, some of them are kids her age, rather. And then there are their parents who are Pio's age. And this way we can get their story a little bit into that also, so we establish those characters, but just very mildly, so we don't need to learn so many different characters, but they're showing up. So yeah, we could have basically the entire gallery of characters introduced from the very beginning during the first season, which is a good idea actually, storytelling wise, and then introduce others also as we go along, but then we switch over to telling, you know, to in the next season or whatever, we can have different storylines telling from another awareness person's perspective, you know, as protagonist. That's kind of a nice, tight, straightforward structure. Then it could be called the awares. With a subtitle, you know, the end of war, or the awares, thank you for your cooperation. The third season could be Path of Love. I think that's good. We gradually lead it there, otherwise it can seem too, you know, sugary and sentimental. But then we should have, all the while, we should, from the very first season, we should introduce little glimpses of the other world. It could first be, this is a good one, that the awares, as I originally in my draft for it put it, they have something called, you know, not the underground or whatever, you know, they are very much online. And they understand that we established that there, that they are understanding that the mental realm is more real than the physical realm. And that's really where things are going on, including warfare, you know, how to call psychological warfare and all that. So we established that, and then we have this online situation, which is really, again, shared minds. And the fact how some those are in power, of course, see their benefits and opportunities opening up there of controlling the minds of billions of people. So the awares, they are not going down into the underground, because the internet there, this whole network, the whole media there is free. You can't keep people away from it. Anyone can get online as long as it exists, and anyone can send messages to others, communicate with others. And some are trying to control that or monitor that or whatever, but then others are figuring out ways to sneak around that, you know, with encryptions and things like that. So that's the situation, just the actual situation. But they call it the overnet. That's the word I put down back then, 15, 16, 17 years ago, when I started on this idea. That's very good, because then they can take the internet. I mean, just look at what it is. We're connected to screens with our senses, but then it's going on in our minds. Just as what we are looking around us in the world, we're sitting together with friends or whatever. It's still a mental experience that we have, and our minds connect with each other through our senses, and in this way we associate, hang out together, communicate. And now we have this other way of doing it. We're connected through this technology that we have built, we humans, or superhumans. I mean, it's really advanced. But then the awares, they're taking this to, and this is going on in those groups, and they are kind of the, how to say, the cutting edge of the development, the cool kids. They are more and more focusing on that mental and intellectual and consciousness level of that communication. Not just things and projects, activities, physical, in the physical world. And the more they do that, this could be a cool thing in it. The more they do that, the more, you know, they're meditating and they're doing all kinds of explorations of consciousness, they're gradually more and more realizing that there actually is an other world. And that what they're doing, the way they're taking it, the development between each other and personally, they're starting off in an online media world, which again, it's a mental world, it's a kind of dream world produced by digital imagery out of electricity, you know. In other words, what we call computers. But what matters is the dream there, the images, the fantastic cyberspace that is really a mental space. Because otherwise it just exists as electricity. It's nothing but electricity and little flickering light. So we can show that, and then we take that mental image, that mental world, where, which actually consists of people communicating with each other and being creative together. And we raise the realization level of reality gradually, gradually, more and more. I'm talking about it. Long-term development throughout this series, where they get more and more into, you know, deep psychology and exploring states of trance and transcendental practices and all that, all those things, like people do who are in the world, you know, mediumship and all of that. So we just take that, and we can even show it very, very realistically. I mean, just the way it is today, that there are cheaters and there's all this big mess there, but they are trying to find the real thing. So we follow their struggle, and then one of them or two of them, they start getting these more extraordinary experiences of the other world that they are connecting maybe with each other telepathically, which again is not something too far out, but also that they get this feeling, this sense that there are others with them in the room helping them. And then you can get a little glimpse now and then of faces, you know, of a room there. Maybe in their dreams, maybe when they wake up, and then, wow, yes, here you are. Thank you for being with me. And as they do get more personal in that way, this is the kind of path that they are taking. Bhakti yoga personalism, not impersonal. Then those personal relationships also with those in the other world, such as, for instance, the ancestors, family members and friends who are passed, you know, over to the other side and who are now there helping out. So we just show that more and more, starting to slide a little bit into, rise a little bit into that other world, higher world in Bhuvarloka, as we call it in Indian Vedic philosophy, right? The astral world and all. We can just establish this whole cosmology there. But also then later, when we get to the PUL story, we start from the other side. We start from Cow Island, and we go down there following Aina when she is following her gosh, what's his name? Her man. Anyway, who then becomes P.O. And she's trying to get to him, and she goes through all these different strange places and meeting strange people, beings. And one of them that she meets then, now we are maybe in the third, right, is Cat Lady. And Cat Lady is about to go down because she has a mission there. And the kid that she grows up as, then, you know, when she incarnates on Earth, could be a little cat lady-ish, and then she will eventually become the fair lady, who again has something there with cats. She has many cats, and they look all like these special Egyptian goddess cats. So in this way, the characters, we meet them again, but from different directions. And we can intertwine this whole thing like that. So far, so good.